Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Psalms 122 says this: I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as we decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of our Lord God, I will seek your good.
All right. Thank you, Lord, that we find gladness in your presence. I thank you, Lord, for the promise in Psalms that it says that in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Lord, when we associate pleasure, we often think about things that are guilty pleasures. Like for me, the first thing that comes to mind is ice cream. But God, I believe there's a holy pleasure that you're inviting us into. And so God, help us to see that. Help us to see just the beauty of the pleasure that you offer. And that's a pleasure that is everlasting. And help us to find pleasure in this journey that we get to go on with you. Lord, I want to move out of the way. We want to hear from you, the source of our joy this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. How's everyone doing? Tagalog, kamusta? Mabuti. Okay lang po. Como estas? Bien? Tres bien? How's it going, mate?
Good.
Yeah, that's the Australian version. Wa mai oi, samuan. Today, as I was referring to in my prayer, we've been going through this series called Roll Call, and we've been talking about what the role of the calling is in our lives and what the calling of God looks like. And this is something that, this topic that I'm going to be talking about today is often one you don't necessarily hear when people are talking about your calling, because they talk about the task of it. But how many of you know, like, actually, God's call is a call to joy. It's a call to fulfillment. And so the title of my message is The Call to Pleasure. I want you to turn to somebody, just encourage them really quickly, and just tell them, God wants you to enjoy him. Be careful, you single people. I heard some voices dropping there. God has called you to enjoy him. Hey, takarisi. Last week, I was talking about how God's calling is eternal, and there's a finish line that we're supposed to run to. And many of you will remember last week, I showed a video clip of a Chinese marathon of which two Ethiopian runners ran to the wrong finish line. This is them now running to the right finish line, only to be superseded by somebody else because they didn't see the signs that said, turn here. And so I asked the question, are you running towards the right win? Are you running towards the right finish line? Because we can have a life that is lived by accident. So it's kind of like somebody who is doing archery and shoots the arrow, it lands on a wall, and then you put the target over the wall and say, look, I got a bullseye, when actually you haven't hit what you're supposed to hit. And so God is calling us to win. And so the end of my message, for those of you who weren't here, was that the only way that we can win is actually if we win together, because God brings us into community to help bring accuracy to our journey. So today I'm going to talk about the nature and just what this journey should feel like as we're walking out in our calling. And so this one hopefully will get you more in the feels, because God has, some of us, you know, we think about our walk with God. And we think that, you know, when you come to know Christ, it's about like burying your emotions and being so rigid with your walk with Christ that it's almost robotic and your face looks like you've won a lemon sucking contest. And it's, but that's not the idea behind walking with God. It's actually made for enjoyment. It's interesting that Christ invites us to think about ourselves as being childlike if we want to accept the kingdom of heaven. Studies show in England, there was a study shown that children on average, under the age of 10, I believe it was, children on average laugh 150 times a day. Then adults, anywhere from 25 to 40 years old, laugh on average 6 times a day. What happens? What happens in that journey? Maybe along the way, you know, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a president. And then somewhere along the way, it's like everything gets cut down and we don't think bigger anymore. We don't dream as large as God wants us to. We don't find satisfaction in a God who is by nature able to overcome the impossible. We start to operate even in Christian circles, we start to operate in unbelief that, yeah, that's who God is, but like not embracing the nature of God as being able to do the impossible in our lives. And so we don't embrace him, that theology that we know up here, we don't embrace that in our hearts. And then that moves into the aspect of shame, because a lot of us carry shame and we look at the cross and we go, thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sin, which is only part of the gospel, but then we don't embrace what he's done in faith into our hearts and into our lives and see him transform us. It's one thing to know that Jesus died and that Jesus laid his life down for the sin of all humanity, but it's another thing that by faith you embrace the sacrifice for what he's done. So I wanted to come back to this first verse that Henry so eloquently read this morning. In Psalm 122, the first three words are what? Did you hear the way you said it?
I was glad.
Say it again.
I was glad.
Thank you, church. You're now on the podcast and you sound glad. That's good. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I mean, we could make a whole sermon just on that one verse. If you were to describe an adjective when you got in your vehicle this morning on your way to church, was it glad? Raymond said yes. I believe her. I believe my sister. Yes, I was glad. Or were you had? Were you glad or were you had? Oh, going to church again. Oh, I've been had again. The Hebrew word is the word makti. Everybody say makti. And this is the only place, in the whole Bible, there are other words that are used for glad, but this specific word is used this one time in the Hebrew, the Old Testament, makti, which means I was glad. We'll unpack that in a little bit. But notice where that gladness is found. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, the house of the Lord, you've got to understand Hebrew, the Hebrew language here. When he's talking about the house, it's the temple, right? The place of worship. Now, if we bring that into the New Testament, remember Jesus with the Samaritan woman. Jesus says to her that you don't need to worship at specific locations. He says you don't need to worship at the temple or on this mountain, but those who worship him worship in spirit and in truth. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you're a believer here, no matter where you are, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and you're able to worship. You're able to find gladness no matter where the location is. But the house in this case, if we begin to understand, at least from a New Testament sense, is that we are all living stones in the house of the Lord. So it's not just me and mine going up to Mount Gravatt, looking over the city and going, oh, this is a beautiful time of God. There's power in that. There's intimacy found in that. But that intimacy is actually more empowered and more magnifying of God's glory when we humble ourselves and bring ourselves alongside the community of which he calls us into. We are living stones in a part of the house, the building that God has created us to be, the church. Like, I can't do this without you, and you can't do this without each other. What the enemy will say is, in this very individualistic time and society we live in here in Australia, is that you can do it by yourself. And so Christianity becomes more of just slap a cross sticker on your self-help book. But have you noticed about self-help? When you go reading a self-help book, by the end of it, you think, oh, you know what? I need to do these 12 things that this author said. And then by 3 months later, you feel more condemned because you didn't do the 12 things that he said. So you have to pick up another self-help book, and then you read that again. And then you find that, man, I didn't do the 12 things he said, the 7 things he said. So you feel even more condemned because yourself can't help yourself. Is the England making sense? Or yourself can't help yourself. The help that you need can be best found in the community that God brings you into, centered around the presence of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. And that's where the gladness is found. See, and I want you to notice this too. There is a consumerist manufacturing of the gladness, and then there is the presence of God gladness. What do I mean by that? We can produce an environment, and this is the danger, Australia. This is the danger. We can fall into this trap of, I can only worship God if the lighting's right, if they're playing my favorite worship jam, if my favorite worship leader is singing. Look, you can get a much better production. Just throw on YouTube and put on, you know, like it's like going to, you know, when you go to Subway or Hungry Jack's and then they have that fountain, or Carl's Jr., those other places that I never visit because I'm trying to be a vegan, but not really. You know, and they have that drink fountain, and it's like, okay, I need a little bit of Hillsong worship, a little bit of Elevation, a little bit of Bethel if I want spontaneous, you know, just a little bit of ice just to cool me down, you know, just, and then I drink that, and that's the consumerist worship that we enter into. And then, oh, okay, I'll try this preacher. I like this preacher. He gets more views. This preacher uses more budget in his analogies, and this preacher has nice sneakers on, and, you know, just like, oh, okay, I'll try that. And that's me and mine. That's my Christianity on the side, but that Christianity doesn't count for much until you walk with other people, because that's when that Christianity is put to the test. Oh man, and that's really just self-help, because you're helping yourself to what you want to hear. When you look at discipleship and the way Jesus did it, he lived with the disciples for 3 years. He did life with them. What we see is these things. And I'm not saying, man, I'm not talking about what different churches and different preachers are doing. I'm talking about us as Christians. We need to be cautious that we're not consumerist in our approach towards our Christianity, where we pick and choose what we want to hear. And the moment we get offended, we like skip to the next thing, the next greatest and latest thing. When God can use that very thing that's offending you to actually bring out a truth that can help you to grow. Don't confuse offense for conviction. There's a slight difference, but it's major. The difference is that conviction comes by the Holy Spirit. Offense comes by false criticism. And guess what? If you're really in Christ, you won't let offense get to you anyway. You'll ask God, God, give me the grace to see the ounce of truth that's within all of this stuff, this criticism. And it's a hard pill to swallow, but it's one worth looking at. And that's why there's this hesitation to say, man, you know what? Am I really glad when they say to me, let's go to the house of the Lord? One of the key words that's in that verse is us. That's us. Let's go. Is that us? Or is it just me? Makti. It means pleasure. It's the same word that you would use in a Hebrew setting if someone was to give you something, or someone was to give you something and they say thank you, and you say, my pleasure. It was my pleasure to do this. Or if you meet somebody, you introduce yourself, and you say, okay, my name is Nelly. Oh, nice to meet you. The pleasure is mine. That's what it means. I mean, you see it alluded to in the New Testament, not in the same way. Obviously, the New Testament is in Greek, but the connotation is the same when you read passages like Jude 1. Well, there's only one chapter in Jude. It says, now all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling away. I love that promise. Look, let me just hammer that home a little bit. God is able to keep you from falling away. It's just like Ricky Martin said, right? Do you really want it? Ole, ole, ole. Now, all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling. He can keep you from falling. Turn to three people and tell them, God can keep you from falling. Some of y'all look at each other. You're the one that makes me keep falling. And will bring you with, catch this, everybody. What does it say? Great joy into his what? Glorious presence without a single fault. God can keep you from falling. It's just a matter of, do you really want him to? The issue is not sin is yuck. The issue is, I like sin. But he's able to keep you from falling. If you fall in love with God, it becomes a lot easier to resist temptation to fall. And he will bring you with what? Great joy. There it is again. Great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. See, the nature of God's calling is beautiful. It's full of joy. It's full of joy. Like everything that you are looking for can be found in the presence of God. And that's why I keep telling Christians, what the greatest thing that you can do in your own time with God is to delve into his word and hear the voice of the Father as he speaks to you with regards to his nature, or he shows his story about what he's doing in the earth, what he has done and will continue to do. And then you deepen your life in prayer, and then you worship him. I really want to encourage you to develop a lifestyle of worship with God. You know, if you think you can't sing, it's okay. Just close the door. You know, just help everybody else out. But you go for it, man. You know, well, I don't want the neighbors to hear, right? Sing in the closet or something. Just go for it. Sing in the shower. Just watch your water bill. Oh, glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All glory. Everybody say all glory. All majesty. All power. All authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. So yesterday, today, forever, all glory, all majesty, all power, all authority and beyond all time. It all belongs to God. Look up at me, everybody. Catch this, okay? The reason why we don't embrace the joy of the Lord is because we want a little bit of glory. We want a little bit of majesty. We want a taste of the glory, see what it tastes like. We want some power. We want some authority. When we start to think we have these things, that's when we operate outside of the glory of God. We operate outside of his presence, and that's when we experience the dissipation of the joy that God wants us to experience. If you'll just let go of that control and recognize that, man, humankind was not created for glory. You were not created to carry glory. One of the most humbling yet scary things, I carry a reverent fear of the Lord when I think about the fact that the first person to be thrown out of heaven was a worship leader, Lucifer. The Bible alludes to him being able to open his mouth and sing like a choir at the same time. Just glorious. Some people say, you know, it's in trials. I'm here to tell you, sometimes it's in glorious times when people are tempted to fall away and forget that God deserves the glory. All majesty, all power, all authority. So we're at a point of choice, right? We can't embrace this mentality. And you got to hear what I'm saying in the spirit. You can't embrace this mentality of self-help in terms of isolation so you can figure it out yourself and see that joy. You might see happiness for a little period of time, but it won't last. Whereas if you walk with the helper, who is the Holy Spirit, you'll experience the joy of the Lord for all eternity. Now, I'm not preaching a happy gospel. I'm not promising that you'll be happy all the time. In fact, there will be times when emotionally you won't be happy. But there is a difference between, as you hear me say all the time, there is a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness has the same root word as happen. So it's dependent on what is happening. So if what's happening is not happy, then you won't be happy. But the joy of the Lord will cause you to be resilient in that time of emotional unhappiness. The joy is what you build your rock upon. It's the rock you build your life upon, I should say. It's that which causes you to stand no matter what you're going through. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Many of you have heard the biological fact that your face was created to be glad, and that it takes more muscles to frown on your face than to smile. Your face was created to smile. But over periods of time, think again about what I said at the top. Children are glad, but it's life happens. Trauma happens. Things happen that cause the gladness to dissipate. But I want to encourage you this morning. As your pastor, I want Every Nation Brisbane to be a house marked with gladness because of what he's done for us and what he continues to do by his grace. And we should be glad. We should be glad to be here. Let us go to the house of the Lord. See, the attitude of somebody who would come just to get their check or their tick in their spiritual checklist is different to one who's glad. How do you know the difference? Well, it's a priority. You come on time. Don't look at anybody. Oh, it's part of my culture. You know what? Every culture needs to bow its knee to Jesus and the clock. All of our cultures need to adjust towards the humility. But like, if we're really glad, like imagine, right? You're in love with somebody. Your spouse is elbowing you right now. That's me, eh? That's me, eh? Yeah. You're in love with that special someone. You make a date with that special someone, you know, all you can think about is that person all week long, and then the day comes, and you're like, you know what, I'll go see if I show up, I'm not sure. Or you show up like 3 hours late, that's going to be your last date. Because that shows value, right? That shows value. It's amazing how, like in other areas of our lives, we will put such priority on our physical, on our mental, on our career advancement. We will put all sorts of preparation and effort into these things, except things that are spiritual. And we wonder why we're not glad. We got it around the wrong way. If you focus on the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, and the fact that you are an eternal being created to worship an eternal God and connected to Him as your source, that source of gladness flows into every aspect of your life. You can be muscle-bound with an IQ of 180 and the CEO of a multinational company, but you still cannot be glad unless you find your center in the presence of Jesus Christ. Our feet have been standing within our gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together. Now, I want you again to notice this, right? When we're talking about houses, anytime in Hebrew literature, what you are seeing is the duality of an actual house, meaning the synagogue or the temple, and the fact that he talks about families as a house. And so in 1 Samuel, when it would talk about how David's house grew stronger and Saul's house was not as strong as David's house, it's not two actual architectural buildings fighting against one another. It's the family and the army of David growing stronger and the army of Saul growing less strong because David's army was stronger. When Noah took his house on the ark, it's not like doo, 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 onto the ark with the animals. No, it's his family that went onto the ark. And so when the author of Psalms is talking about, I'm building a house and let us go to the house of the Lord, he's talking about let us come, yes, to the physical edifice of which you worship, but even more importantly, you're coming together with the other people to worship God. That's a part of the calling. It's not just the Sunday too, it's walking together in community from Monday to Saturday. The whole thing is the house of God. And if you want to stay glad, you stay locked into the house of God, locked in around other Christians around you. And then, so we got to understand this too. If you've got a whole bunch of houses together in an area, what do you call that? It's called a city. Oh. So if all of your families come together, and then we come together as a local church, but we come together with the churches that are here in Brisbane, guess what? We can take this city. And so when he starts talking about Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, you're starting to see this? To which the tribes, we just sang about it, go up, the tribes of the Lord, and was decreed for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. The thrones for judgment were set, the thrones for the house of David. There we go again. We're talking about the family of David, right? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. How many of you want that in your life? Like just peace. Some people in this room, as I was praying about this message, people in this room have been battling anxiety, worried about certain things that you're trying to take control of. You're trying to take authority over. You're trying to take glory over. You have no authority. You have no place of glory unless you surrender it to Christ. You can battle. The reason why we get anxious is because we're still holding on to things that God wants us to let go of and just let Him take control of. It's not a matter of, okay, I'll do everything I can and then the last thing I'll do is pray. No, that should be the first thing you do, the second thing you do, the whole process. You should be praying. And then it's in that place we have peace within his walls and security within his towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. And that's it. That's the whole of my message, other than to say, God wants us to operate this way, to enjoy Him. There is a grace and a peace that we can only find in His house. There is a gladness that overrides circumstances that you can only find in His presence. If you try to look for that in any other source, you will be left wanting. And for the people who are in here and that are followers of Christ, you don't have to travel far and wide to find what you're looking for. I know you too was here on Tuesday. And that song comes directly from Ecclesiastes. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And there are Christians who claim or are following Christ, but they're still looking for something when it can only be found, despite the independency of society, can only be found in community and how God brings us together. Not just as this local church, but local churches all over this world, whether it's a house church, a mega church, however God wants to do it. And right here at Every Nation Brisbane, there's a recognition that this is the church. Your life and my life being connected together, that's church. Not just us meeting on Sunday, but us doing life together. We've got some exciting announcements coming in the next couple of weeks of how God's going to continue to expand this community and how we're called as a part of the body of Christ in this city to take this city for Christ and see this city launched into its destiny and reaching the world and reaching the nations. So it's not just every city and every nation, but it's every nation in this city. I was just looking at the statistics, you know, I think it's just under 200 nations represented in Brisbane Council, and Logan Council is 212 nations. There's so many nations that are in this city, and that's just nations. I'm talking about generations. I'm talking about the different cultures that are here. God's inviting every single culture, every single nation to come and find this joy that you can only find in the presence of God. So the simple question I end with is, do you enjoy Jesus? Just be real. My mother's here. Everybody give it up for my mom. She's here. I'm so thankful, Mom, that you are here helping me to keep my sanity and trying to take care of my kids and tend to this awesome church that God's blessed me to lead and with Tina. But I was thinking about growing up as a pastor's kid. So many of you know my dad, who's gone to be with the Lord, actually in a couple of weeks, we will celebrate the 10th anniversary of his passing, right? I'm just thinking about it now. Wow, it's been 10 years. But I was just thinking about the environment of which my parents brought my sister and I. Many of you know my sister and her husband, Taolu, pastor our church in Every Nation Church in South Auckland. I can't speak for Rowena and my brother-in-law, but I ran away from the calling to ministry. I don't want to be a pastor. I grew up in a house in Mount Wellington in Auckland. Our house wasn't the largest house, but it was my mom and my dad lived like it was the largest house in terms of packing everybody into our house, and taking care of so many people because they were genuinely pastors. I mean, not just by title, but like we had so many single mothers who were abandoned, had no place to raise their kids because they were kind of disowned. Come and stay with us. We had many people that had no place to stay, come and stay with us. And I was just a selfish teenager at the time, you know. Like, as a child, I was like, oh, this is great. Praise the Lord, you know. But again, you lose your laugh as you grow older. And then I wanted my space before the website. I wanted my space. And then all these people would come and stay with us because my parents were exemplifying the gospel. And they'd take them in, help them to raise their kids. And, you know, my mom may only have two children, but she's got so many children in terms of people that have been raised in our home and launched literally into the nations. And to this day, you know, my mom is still mothering spiritually so many people. But one of the greatest things that my parents did was teach me the lesson that when I'm in church, I'm pastoring, but when they're at home, their mom and dad, they were our parents. And I grew up seeing Christianity, not with a title, but in enjoyment. I didn't enjoy it. In Psalm 1, we have the thing called the loku, right? Loku, you know, that means come and let's pray. And I don't know if in your different cultures, when your parents would tell you, if you grew up in a Christian home or a Catholic home, let's go, let's pray. It wasn't like, yay, I was glad when they said, come into the house of the Lord. It wasn't that, you know, I'd be like in the room, come, let's pray. And my dad will come in. So I look, come and pray. Oh, Dad. So come, sit there. And, you know, my dad prays. He loves to pray. But you know what that means, right? Prays long, man. Like, those of you who know Psalm 119, he'll pray the whole 175 verses. Like, he's just long because he loves Jesus. And my mom's so eloquent, you know. Like, I'm more of a Miles Davis prayer person, you know. If it can be said in two words rather than 20, I'll choose two words, but they're all 20. All 20 words. And so I'll be sitting there going, oh gosh. And they'll pray in Psalm 1 too. You know, so like, feel a little like Psalm 1. You know, like I'm not really that strong in my Psalm 1. So like I'll catch like 75% of the prayer. And the other part I'll be like, man, sleeping. It's tough. And I didn't have a cell phone at the time. There were no cell phones. I see some of you younger generators, like in prayer time, you're like, oh, let me check Snapchat, you know, like, oh, look at try not to laugh at your friend's TikTok, you know, during prayer. But one thing I saw in my parents is they enjoyed God. And still to this day, my mom enjoys God. It was never imposed on us. In fact, I did, like you too, try to look for something else. Many of you know my testimony. I'm really into hip hop, so I tried to pursue like a little rap career, and I look back and go, what were you thinking? Well, my parents were, you know, my mom would always mess up my sin or mess up my pursuits by just, you know, yeah, go as a Christian. And so when I'd try to do something that was not pleasing to God, I'd hear my mom's voice in the background. Go as a Christian. But I'm here to tell you, man, like, it's literally 22 years, since I got the revelation of the authentic relationship with God. I'd been to, like, a few altar calls at, like, church camps and youth rallies and that sort of stuff. But it was more of an emotional invitation. Some guy playing Eagles Wings on the keyboard, the Casio keyboard. Oh, this is the moment. I feel the emotional tug. But it was the revelation of there's no life outside of Jesus. Absolutely none. And I had to get to that point myself. And I honor my mom for giving me the room to do that. Rather than, I'm sure there were so many times she was like disappointed. Like her hair used to be black, it's gray now. Because that's my fault. Just praying for me. No, you didn't need to pray for Rowena. She was okay. It was more me. But now, you know, like if there's one lesson that I can honor while my mom's here and encourage you with is I enjoy Jesus. I love him. I enjoy being with God. There's no better place to be. And it's not based on my parents' relationship with God. It's not forced on me. I love him. There's no, like, what you might be looking for can only be found in the house of the Lord, can only be found being sheltered in the Most High. And he's inviting you into it. So that's the question I pose to you. Both if you are a follower of Christ and not yet a follower of Christ. Do you enjoy Jesus? Do you enjoy him? Do you like spending time with him? So I tell you what, he loves spending time with you. He loves when you put life on pause and hang out with him. He even loves it when you're mad or you're so frustrated. You come home and you do like Cuba Gooding Jr. walk in the door. You know, like, as long as you take that to Jesus, none of you have been there. You have a friend, but you know, none of you have been there. Like, are you allowed to? Some of you are looking at me like, are you allowed to do that? Read the Psalms. Half of them is David going, where are you? Where were you? If you actually read the Bible, there's a book called Lamentations, which is like a flash way of saying complaints. Read that book. It's Jeremiah, who, by the way, was a prophet of God. And guess how many people were converted to God in his ministry? None. Nobody was. God used him as a warning sign for the people of Israel, and they still didn't follow God. So he had to write a little side hustle called Lamentations because Jeremiah wasn't cutting it, and this was like his own prayers. Man, when are these people going to turn, man? Are you sure it's me? I'm getting tired of the sackcloth and ashes wardrobe, man. Can I get some Gucci? Gucci gang. Like, can I get something here? And that's in the Bible. It's not all Hallmark cards. A lot of people, because they don't read the Bible, think it's all Hallmark cards and think, I can't live up to this. If you actually take time to enjoy him, you'll find that there's room. There's room to complain towards Jesus. To Even Jesus himself said, if it's your will, please take this away from me. I don't want this. He's sweating blood in the presence of the Father, but not my will, but yours be done. But man, I've got to say, this is tough. This is hard. But too many of us want to self-help. We want to bring it in the presence of the Lord. But again, I invite you, like the author of the psalm says, I was glad when they said to me, like we're saying to you, let us come to the house of the Lord. Let's prioritize coming together, not forsake fellowship, coming together unified. Amen? Take a couple minutes really quickly. Just ask that question to the people, two or three people around you right now. Do you enjoy Jesus? And take some time to pray. Pray for them. For those of you who are done praying, I want to give you a couple of practical Monday handles for this message. So it's easy to be emotionally moved in a moment like this to commit to enjoying God, but I want to put some practicality on it. And you can do this now if you want, if you have access to it, whether you keep your schedule or schedule, I know some of you say schedule, on your phone or your device. Schedule enjoyment with God. If you don't schedule it, it won't happen. How many of you have learned that the hard way, right? So what I want you to do before we enter into this time of worshiping God in song and enjoying Him in song, I want you to take some time to just commit to setting time to enjoy Him. Go on a date with God. Just say, okay, at this time, I'm going to do this. And then write down what that's going to look like. And I won't mind, even if during worship you find like, okay, I need to write this down. I need to flesh this out so that by the time you leave, you've actually got something practical that you're going to do to enjoy Him. I want you to take some time to actually flesh out what your activation of this enjoyment with God would be.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.